Welcome to the Minovate Gang Podcast. This is Steve Borsch, and we're here at Mobile March Twin Cities, and I am with two of my colleagues because Graham is too busy with his bride at some show to even be here.
She does sort of a craft thing.
She does a craft thing, yes.
So
yes.
They do a lot of the festival deal thing.
They
I
do.
You were talking about cheese, and you said craft.
Well, that's about it.
Cheese, yes, it's a cheese deal.
So I'm here with my buddy Tim Elliott.
Yep, good morning.
Phil Wilson.
Good morning.
And two very special guests, Guy Thier, who's the CIO at Bally Fitness.
Good morning.
And Justin Grammons, who's with Code 42 Software.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Steve.
I mean, thanks for coming to the show, but also for being on the cast. So what is going on with this event? Tell us about the event and the attendance and the kinds of people that are here.
Oh, geez, it's just been overwhelming. We've got, we had 225 registrants this year, great mix of technologists and I hesitate to say non-technologists, but, business-minded folks that are, not heads-down software developers. And that's what this conference is all about. It's kind of bringing together people that are in bed, in deep, I guess, with the technology. Heads down, developers, all they want to do is write code. And so we provide some sessions to cover that sort of stuff with them. And we had a great sort of workshop technical track yesterday and a lot of people to do 4 hours of just heads down development. And we're kind of continuing that today with a little more advanced sessions. And then we have the business track, which talks a lot more about marketing. We have people like Guy that come and talk kind of grand vision. We've got stuff with sales, strategy, kind of how to work mobile into your organization more from a, like a CIO, chief executive level.
Yep. And then you guys have some exhibitors out here. I know that I was kind of blown away by Mike Bollinger's Fast Pass, which for those that aren't here and are listening, FastPass has literally every device, every smartphone and tablet out there, and app developers can come in and actually test their apps. And there's other exhibitors out here, Verizon.
Yep, we've got PDS, but they work with a close relationship with a company called Mobile Iron, and they've got some really cool stuff that allows you to monitor your phones, shut them down if an employee becomes terminated, only allow certain apps to be installed. Some really, really cool enterprise type stuff. I'll put in the plug for my own company at Code 42 Software. We're here showing off CrashPlan, our backup solution for all sorts of devices. And then there's a company called Sundog Interactive. They're here, and they're actually out of Fargo, North Dakota. I feel pretty good that we're actually reaching beyond just the state of Minnesota. And Sundog heard about this conference. They actually attended, sent a bunch of people down last year, and they thought it was such a cool thing that they were like, we want to be a part of this year.
That's great.
And so, yeah, they've got about, I want to say maybe 8 to 10 developers that came down here, stayed at the hotel for the weekend, and they're just, loving it. They're getting immersed in the technology and showing off all the products that they've written for their clients.
So just briefly on CrashPlan, and we'll talk a little more about Mobile March, but you had a great story for me on Carbonite and CrashPlan. You guys saw a big upswing in CrashPlan subscribers, yeah, which I love to see because, a local company. But you were telling me, was that Rush Limbaugh fallout or something like that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if people have followed that, but, Rush said some things that were controversial. And one of our main competitors is Carbonite, and they were kind of taking some heat,
right,
because they were continuing to support Rush. They actually advertise on his show. So if you listen to a lot of shows, there's a fair amount of Carbonite ads that come up. And so a lot of people were saying, well, geez, why are you guys continuing to support this guy, give him money? And they kind of hemmed and hawed over the weekend. This was a couple weeks ago whenever this happened. And so a lot of people bailed. And I don't have any hard facts to prove this or anything like that. But I do know that they're, we hear a lot of stuff in terms of what's going on the internet with chatter and whatnot. And, we got, this is the sense that I get, is a lot of people just left Carbonite over that. And then they decided on Monday that they weren't going to support Rush anymore. So then they pulled their stuff, along with, I think it was Disney and a couple other companies.
Like 90 companies have
backed out. Yeah. Well, so then the people that love Rush are mad that they ended up pulling out. So then they leave. So it's a tough sort of industry in that respect, in terms of just, you know, marketing yourself. Who do you appease, you know?
So does this mean that Code 42 is reevaluating your support of the Aryan Nation podcast? I'm teasing.
We're
kidding.
We're staying out of the anti-ass stuff.
And Justin, you know, Justin was telling me this story. So I mean, it's one of those things that I suppose that you know, it's hard to say that yes, because of the carbonite issue with Rush Limbaugh, that they're seeing some growth in their business. But I think it only stands to reason that Crash Plan, I think, is a great service that offers some very solid backup systems. And I think that obviously they're if you're looking for some place to go, you've gone from one place to another, I think that Crash Plan is probably going to see some.
I think that the users, they probably weren't aware of Crash Plan. And when you look at the pricing, Crash Plan is a lot more reasonable, especially if you get a family plan.
Exactly.
And then there's other options available, like you can go to your own server and that kind of thing, which appeals to the techies of us.
Well, here's one thing that I completely didn't understand about this particular event, is how these guys could rope someone of your stature into keynoting this event, guy. I'm kidding. It was great.
Steve refuses to give us props, and it's just like, my goodness, come on.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, the one thing about your keynote was, you know, a lot of organizations talk about the sorts of things that they're doing, but it was sort of amazing how, you know, it appears as though you've looked at not only your guests but also employees and said, how can we maximize the usage of all this tech? You know, and what are they already doing? And it sounds like it's really intrinsic in the organization.
Getting there anyway.
Yeah. Now, do you have to sell it? I mean, are you as an organization crafting the strategy, or are you kind of looking at all the possibilities and then saying, you know, here are some things that we could probably take advantage of?
It's definitely IT driven.
Okay.
And there's a lot of salesmanship going on. You know, first winning over the person in charge of a certain area that we want to bring tech into. I've been fortunate. They're all pretty open and receptive.
Okay.
When I first started kicking around the idea of just a Who's in My Club app on the iPad, I was at a dinner with the field personnel and said, hey, what do you think of this? And, you know, at first they were, well, we're not sure how we're going to use it, but boy, that's cool. We just got to have some of that stuff just to reinvigorate the brand, if nothing else. So they started getting on board with the concept of new technology to reinvigorate the brand long before they figured out that it's actually useful too. So now they're starting to see that it helps their lives. It's brand reinvigorating. Employees are starting to use it to its fullest extent and build a community with the member that we really hoped for.
That's great.
So Guy, you outlined in your keynote some pillars that you use that really kind of support the whole strategy that you're doing mobily. Could you kind of highlight those a little bit?
Sure. It's actually evenly split. Three pillars for employees and three pillars for consumers. So we looked at interaction between employees and customers as one pillar, but also interaction with the environment around them. So employees have a different perspective on a health club than members do. And what we wanted to do is utilize technology to augment each person's perspective. So an employee's perspective is the old Bally would have a closed office to do salesmanship. Changing your perspective is now you can do salesmanship on the floor with a member as they're touring the club, much more open, friendly environment. From a consumer standpoint, you may be wondering how to use a particular piece of equipment in the environment. So we'll put QR codes on the equipment and let the equipment tell you how to use it. So it's if you look at the environment interaction, the person-to-person interaction, and then another employee interaction is just how do they approach their job. So we went to virtual desktops, bring your own device, allowed people a new lifestyle, where it's work from home or work from wherever you want. And again, it's altering the culture of Bally to be a better place to be.
Yeah.
When did you start your mobile kind of transition?
In the late fall of 2010.
And what was the impetus to kind of start that?
it was really looking at the world around us, and my personal use of mobile devices was drastically increasing, and the apps available to me to augment my day were there. And it was just an awakening of we should be able to do that in our gyms for our employees and our members as well.
Mm-hmm. So in your talk, you talked, I think, exclusively about iOS devices. Do you also support other platforms?
We don't for the employee side. And the reason for that is we were looking for a stable hardware platform. So when you're talking about credit card swipes and dealing with encryption and so forth, I wanted to get something where I knew I could count on the hardware. With Android and the multiple manufacturers, it was too big of a risk for me that I would have to alter software with every new release of hardware, where iOS, I'm pretty confident that the platform will be stable for a while.
How much of the ROI that you present to management in the company is based on marketing and sales-driven sort of benefits versus, you know, technology?
For most of this, we didn't make it an ROI decision. This was pure... how do we alter the perception of the brand, because measuring that from an ROI standpoint is difficult. A lot of this technology went into new clubs that were opening last year, so there was a lot of technology push, not just mobile, but a lot of other features to a club that were not seen in a Bally before. So when you combine all that stuff, it's hard to measure any one thing to say that's the ROI cause. So it's really, is the club successful within the parameters we've given the club for investment, and so far they've all been a yes.
Well, this may sound like a bizarre question, but I didn't hear you talk about this specifically, and I might have just missed it because I had to run off for a minute, but it has to do with gaming and Bally's background, not only in obviously casino gaming, but arcade gaming,
right.
And I think about what Jane McGonigal, this woman who does a lot about game theory and is an analyst and has written all kinds of books and so forth on gaming and game theory, and thinking about competitions that I've been in the past to lose weight with buddies of mine,
right.
You know, and you know, there's a carrot at the end of the thing, which is, you know, $100 or $500 or whatever. And thinking about gaming and thinking about the sorts of motivations and incentives that maybe could be built into, have you looked at
absolutely.
That as a...
Absolutely, it's definitely
okay.
On our roadmap.
Okay.
I think the first, the next stage on our roadmap is really creating an environment where you can have self-organizing teams and find a workout friend using some mobile apps that we want to come up with. Once you have that concept in place, then you can start competing groups against groups,
yeah.
Fitness clubs against fitness clubs, a wide range of stuff. You can do weight loss, you can do miles run in or out of the gym, weight pushed. There's a lot of possibilities.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Do you see extending the kind of the experience with the brand at home to, like, bringing in maybe with a partnership with the Weight Watchers or some other kind of place, you know, sort of taking what you do at the gym and then taking it home on an iPad and having menus and recipes and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so the first partnership that we've had in that area is a company called Pump One, who facilitates the relationship between a trainer and a member outside the gym. So it's communication over an iPhone or Android device, where the trainer can give workout routines without necessarily meeting one-on-one, provide nutrition advice. The trainer can manage their client list and see who's working out, who's not, who's succeeding in their goals. So for us, it's really starting to solidify our relationship with members before we bring in additional third parties to take advantage of our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I loved how you about how you talked about the personal trainers, because my nephew is a personal trainer, and I keep thinking about platforms for personal trainers that they can, you know, essentially build a practice on top of.
Right.
And it's clear that that's you're doing that to leverage the clubs and everything that Bally does.
Yeah, it's happening naturally in the clubs already. It's just cumbersome, right? So
okay, yeah.
By facilitating that with a mobile device, I think can really aid a trainer in their quest to build their book up and keep relationships strong.
So do you integrate things like scales with the mobile?
So we do not. Although I did purchase the Wi-Fi one. And the way it fluctuates depending on stress levels and so forth. I talked about the Results Center in my presentation, the big video wall. We had actually given a lot of thought to putting a scale in the floor right in front of them. So long term, you can use that video wall to interact with other aspects of your fitness. So your weight could be up there, you could put blood pressure on there. There's a lot of body age analyzers and so forth. So I think, again, probably longer term, we would do something like that. But there's still a lot of blocking and tackling to get there.
Well, listen, last night Guy was at also came to Mobile 3D, and we had how many different presenters last night at 3D?
We had 11.
I had 11 presenters. And you actually referenced iConnexus a couple of times, which is a local developed app. So, Justin, couldn't you tell me a little bit about what you took away as far as last night at Mobile 3D? I mean, it's very exciting to see some of the stuff that was going on here.
Yeah, well, Mobile 3D is another event that we do in kind of in conjunction with Mobile March, and it gives a chance for local companies to show their products, you know, kind of pimp what they do. And it's great to see just the whole wide range of things. You know, we have stuff from games that are, you know, fun, just pure entertainment games. They don't really serve any business value per se. And then to kind of the iConnexus solution, which is more of a social meeting. It can be used in all sorts of business settings too, as well. And then we had things that actually were starting to use hardware devices. You know, actually plugging things into your phone and being able to check the temperature or have it give you a phone call if the baby's diaper is wet. That was kind of a fun little thing that they did. So it's just, you know, just people just basically thinking outside the box and trying to show off some little products that they've developed and hopefully. You know, find some customers, maybe find some seed money, you know, maybe get some investment and try and just grow it because that's where it all starts. It's just in someone's garage.
So we can maybe put a sensor in your Depends, Phil? What do you think?
I don't. I don't know what to say to that, I guess. I don't have any snappy retort. Sorry.
The podcast would not be complete if you were not abused.
Yeah, I know. Some way, shape, or form.
One of the things that came out, especially in the general session, is it seems like everybody in town is hiring developers for mobile.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Right?
Yeah.
So Justin, if you were to start in today, right? Mm-hmm. Would you go only iOS, or would you like look for another niche out there, or?
Well, I did start a company, you know, a couple of years ago, and we focused on cross-platform development. And I think even if I were to do that today, it would still focus on cross-platform development. I think you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. You're banking on, you know, whether it be Apple or Google or Microsoft to kind of dictate how things are going to work for you. So I like to play my odds, you know, kind of hedge my bets. And hopefully get a little bit of the pie everywhere rather than either getting 100% or 0%. So, yeah, I'd focus, keep it somewhat broad, I guess. I personally have seen, well, I guess I would step back and ask what the market's asking for. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a lot of people asking for Apple, but we saw a lot of people asking for Android, so we built a practice in that. Mm-hmm. I see Microsoft Windows Phone 7 coming up. You know, people are starting to ask for that, you know, so I'd start building that up too. So look at what the market's asking for and just focus on that.
So you're not doing a lot of BlackBerry anymore.
No, so that's kind of where I was leading to, I guess.
That's another one of those podcasts we can't let go by without slamming rim one time.
No one's asking for it, yeah. To be honest. I'm not sure if you guys are seeing it much at all. I see some disgruntled people maybe, like, why don't you build an app for me? But it's then they go to the store and they buy an iPhone and then they're happy. You never hear from them again. You know, or they buy an Android device, and then they just kind of they just deal with it. But it's not a cheap investment to put money into a platform that's effectively dying.
Well, what do you do, Guy, for talent? I mean, if do you outsource some aspects of your development, or you try to do it all in house, or how do you approach that?
I tend to do mixed teams.
Okay,
a mix of I want to be able to support anything I build internally. But I do use vendor expertise and then build into the projects of mentoring of my team. I do invest heavy in education for my team, but otherwise it's tough competition.
Yeah.
you know, every time you think you're paying competitively, someone gets an offer for 10 or 20% more, and you have to figure out how did your pay scale get out of whack so fast. So it's tough, but I think things like the work at home for IT that we have in place is a great retention aid, and then just trying to have a positive, innovative environment is the other piece.
Well, this may be, I just have to ask this real quick. Do we have time?
I've got time.
Before, okay.
Well, you gotta go somewhere?
Well, I want to be sensitive to the fact that there's other things going on at this event.
There is?
Okay. I guess not.
Yes, there is.
That, I guess, brings up the question on what sorts of things do you do to enable that working at home in terms of virtualization of work? I mean, are just have you standardized on Skype? Are you looking at any given VNC platform so you can do screen sharing? I mean, I don't know.
No, we've actually we've rolled out virtual desktops and Microsoft Link, and that's about it. I mean,
okay.
We have a phone system where your desk phone is forwarded to whatever phone number you want it to be, your mobile device, your home phone, whatever it is, and there's pretty strict guidelines on if I need you, I need to be able to get a hold of you.
Right.
And everyone's pretty good with that because they know if I can't get a hold of people, that privilege will go away pretty quick. When there's big projects and we need to do collaboration, we'll bring everybody in. I actually manage my team remotely. The vast majority of my team is in Baltimore, Maryland, and I live in Chicago. And I have additional development staff in Los Angeles. So that concept of a virtual team has been ingrained over the last 6-7 years. Hasn't been an issue for us. We're real good at working over the phone. We're real good at collaborating in the room when we need to. And it just keeps it going.
Yeah. Well, plus you can measure what people are doing and what they're outputting. But the reason I asked was, and I've been reading more and more of these articles lately about people that are doing things like setting up a netbook on the side running Skype, and it's got an open connection at all times. So it's as though if you want to talk to somebody, you can just roll your chair back and look over the barrier, look around the barrier, and say, "Hey, are you there?" And the person on the other end, I just got a quick question for you. And so it's an always on.
The virtual cube.
The virtual cube, exactly. And so I'm always curious what large organizations are doing to, you know, kind of foster that sometimes water cooler kinds of connection.
Yeah, I actually went to a Gartner session where, I forget the name of the company, but they created a Second Life world for their employees.
Oh.
So they use that as a collaboration tool, and even corporate meetings where, you know, your avatar is dressed however you want your avatar dressed and shows up, and the CEO or CIO gives their corporate presentation on your own private island, and that seemed to be working for them. So that might be something I give a shot
and
see if that helps or hinders the communication.
This seems so 2006 to me, you know?
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Well, it's okay. It's okay if you have your own island and you can control who comes in and out.
I just
remember the Asian woman who was the one who was making like a couple hundred grand a year in selling virtual goods in Second Life, and she was on the cover of Time magazine, and so she was holding this event. She was being interviewed by somebody from Wired magazine, I think, and then people could be in the stands, and of course they're floating above and all that while she's doing it. Well, a couple of script kiddies wrote this script where all of a sudden there are these, excuse me for saying this, but these large phallic symbols that were coming and going right in front of the two of them the entire time. And I shouldn't laugh because it just, you know, it wrecks the whole thing, but it's also, I think it's just incredibly funny that somebody did that. And
well,
you don't have to worry about that in your own closed island.
But that's the danger of being in a platform like that.
It is, yeah.
But getting back to sort of serious business, maybe.
There's always have to keep in mind the penis factor.
Right.
That's right.
Doing as far as development goes.
Yeah. Because we're all in 10th grade.
So what do you think about Google Plus using Hangouts as a collaboration tool for companies?
I have not looked at it. Honestly,
proving once again the first rule of Google Plus is nobody talks about Google Plus.
It might be too open to have that kind of thing, but it seems to me it's an easy to use kind of platform.
We do have SharePoint Insight on site for collaboration, but people are just tending to pick up the phone and call. It's I'm just not seeing it taken to very much in my environment, at least.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to talk about the iPad. So Guy, you use an iPad as your laptop, basically.
Yes, I do.
So when did that happen? When did the iPad become good enough to use as your laptop?
It was really more of the virtual desktop concept. So we put virtual desktops in over last summer. I'm using a Citrix receiver app, which allows my iPhone to be a trackpad. Mm-hmm. And I just started trying it, and everything I need to do, I can do. There are occasionally very big spreadsheets that are really tough to do on an iPad, and I'll just farm that out to someone who works for me. But generally, I can do everything I need to do.
So when you go back to the system, is it a Windows system or a Mac? Or
Windows.
Windows, okay. So it's just your basic desktop system.
Yeah, and it resides on a server, so I have as much memory and space as I need, as much horsepower. My virtual desktop is on the fastest server we have, so it's much better than my old desktop and laptop for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because OnLive, the app for the iPad that runs a Windows desktop, so you can run it virtually now. Apparently, Microsoft's having conversations with them about licensing, but I have yet to be able to get in. I've tried it all kinds of different times during the day or night, and it's just slammed. So people can't get in. So having your own and having it be on a speedy network.
Come on.
No, you don't.
Well, I know. The free app, though. Come on. You get what you pay for, right?
No, I know. I just want to try it first.
Right. Then get up at 3 in the morning and then
and give it a shot. Yeah. Come on. How committed are you?
Enough said.
Speaking of the iPad, we can't, I would like to speak with our listeners at this point in time. There was actually discussion before this podcast began. Tim actually said, should we talk about the iPad? And it's like, you guys talk about Apple 24/7 unless I throttle you back. And Tim actually asked, should we talk about the iPad?
I don't know if it was apropos.
Of course it's apropos. Okay. So, Guy, you're using a new iPad, third generation iPad.
Yes, I am.
Is it worth the price of admission?
It's hard to tell yet because I haven't sat my old iPad next to my new iPad. I bought the LTE version of the new iPad, so I'll start looking at download speeds. I can tell the video quality is much better. Applications seem to perform better. I think my presentation was better because I bought the new iPad. So
that's hard to say. I don't think it could have gotten better.
I think it'll be something I don't notice on a daily basis. But if I'm going to be at a conference talking about mobile, I need to have the latest and greatest. And so,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
How many of your mobile employees use iPads versus a traditional laptop?
I would say it's about 50-50 right now. The executive team is 100% on iPads, no more laptops. Hmm. The field leadership at district manager and above is starting to convert to iPads. And we're starting to build executive and field level reporting to be iPad specific, so that'll really encourage the move.
Yeah.
But most of their functionality is email, simple spreadsheet, simple Word documents, so the iPad has plenty of horsepower for them.
From a support perspective, are the iPads more efficient for you to support versus a laptop?
So far. We've been pretty lucky in that none of them have disappeared as well. So we do have them deployed in clubs. We've threatened Black Hawk helicopters to come and track you down if one disappears. But so far it's much more stable, a lot less help desk calls about software or something not working. So
how do you manage those? Do you manage those remotely?
Yeah, we do. We have, what was the name, Iron?
Mobile Iron.
Oh, Mobile Iron. In place
you're,
to do it.
You're using them today? Yeah. Cool. That's great.
So, Steve, you got a new iPad.
That's right. I do. I almost forgot.
So, have you noticed a better resolution in your extensive collection for exotic pornography? Is it better to view on?
Yes, Phil. Which category? The horse or the cat category? No, in all seriousness, because I want to be serious rather than being teased. Of course, I do. I deserve that. The screen resolution clearly is dramatic. I mean, it really does make a huge difference. The difference for me, though, was going from an iPad 1 to this one is dramatic. And my wife had the 2, but when the 2 came out, I had a 64 gig one. I thought, based on what I do, I don't think I'm going to make the jump. And so that going from one to three is a huge dramatic jump, and a lot of the apps are crashing on the one, which means that there just wasn't enough RAM, and the apps are getting bigger and right. and so forth. Everything runs faster. Everything, you know, the new A5X chip is dramatic. So from that standpoint, I really love it. And I also went with the LTE, the Verizon. Great. I mean, it's a great network. I was telling the guy out here, too, that what was really interesting about the LTE network is I tried an experiment. I went from my house in Eden Prairie up the Interstate 494 to 394. And went into a breakfast meeting. The entire time I was having a Skype conversation, and it never dropped once. And I thought that VoIP, we could slam AT&T, but I always thought that VoIP conversations would drop when you switched from cell to cell, and that was not the case. And especially now, this guy out here just told me that that in fact is built into LTE. To maintain, like if you're doing a download, you don't have basically don't have it's a complete handshake, so VoIP will operate just fine. So that's pretty amazing.
Well, here's my AT&T slam, because I actually switched to Verizon on this version of the iPad. I have my iPad 2 is AT&T, and I called them up and I said I wanted to roll my iPhone plans together with my iPad and just have one bill. I've been an AT&T customer for 15 years at least. And they said, "Well, you need to do a we need to do a credit check."
Oh my!
Jeez!
I'm like, I've been paying you $200 a month for 20 years or 15 years, and I've been paying for this iPad for a year, and now you want to do a credit check? And I was like, "Forget it." So, I'm turning off that service and going to Verizon.
Wow!
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes a huge difference.
So
customer experience.
Any of the apps on there take advantage of the more higher resolution screen?
Some do.
Yeah, some do. So, some do.
The Marvel comic app supposedly does. Yeah, so I just downloaded that. I haven't looked at it yet.
And Temple Run kicks ass.
Well, and Flipboard. I use Flipboard every day, three times a day, and that also just went to an up res, and it looks better.
There's the other thing Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was going to say there is work by the developers that need to have this happen. You know, when you went from the iPad 1 to the iPad 2, there were additional graphics that needed to be added in, and this is the same type deal. You're doubling the screen resolution. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting because I never bought HD movies off of iTunes, and I think with this I might buy a couple HD movies and just look at the difference.
Yeah. I the last piece in here that I thought was kind of interesting, and it's probably the processor speed. But never ever took hand notes with the iPad, and I've noticed that even with this little teeny stylus that I have, that using some of the note app programs, they function better. They're more precise for some reason. I mean, because there must have just been a little bit of latency in there that made it not a great experience. And I've been actually interested in the Adonit Jot, which has a little clear disc and an actual pen pinpoint. You can actually see through the disc, and it feels like you're writing on the screen. And I'm going to go ahead and order one of those, and because apparently it really performs beautifully with this in some new ways. So I think this iPad right here is the one that I wish would have been the first one, because it's finally where I think it's hitting on all cylinders. So
what else we got coming up now that Mobile March is winding down? Where do you want to go next?
Well, we got the overnight website challenge coming up.
We'll be there next week. So yeah.
We'll be there next week.
Yeah.
Tim will be the groggy one.
Right. Yep. Well, you're going to come in at like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, right? The first day? Or are you going to come in the second day?
Are we coming in the second? We'll figure it out.
No, you usually come at the beginning of the challenge.
No. We came at the end. We came during the day on Saturday. That's when Senator Al Franken came, was on Saturday. Because we were there.
And we start on Saturday.
Starts Saturday morning.
We start Saturday morning at 9 in the morning.
So like I said, we come on Sunday.
We start when it starts early.
Yeah.
Sunday at 9 when we come
on. Yeah. All right. Like I said. Here, we'll just rewind that.
I don't know where we're going.
So you'll be there after we're assigned a nonprofit.
There we go.
There we go, right.
And Jamf Software, who has the Casper suite for remote management of Macs and iOS devices, has an event on March 28th. Then Minibar on the 7th, and Mini WebCon at the...
And I'm assuming Minibar sold out. I didn't...
I think they're going to put out the...
Excuse me, freed out.
The paid tickets later, right?
Yeah, okay.
I think it's, $20, something like that?
session?
Like that. You and I?
Sure, yeah. Let's
I think we should something. Do one.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Mini WebCon at the U of M on the April 16th. Always a great event. And then the Minnesota High Tech Association Spring Conference on Wednesday the 25th.
And that's getting higher and higher tech every time we see
yeah,
that.
I don't know. It's kind of shockingly high tech.
It
yeah.
is, isn't it?
They, like, they, have a new, they have a new website. And new HTML emails.
There you go.
So it's wow. getting very high tech.
It's getting very high tech.
And then last but not least, the I.O. Festival in June at the Walker. And Guy, I don't know if you've ever seen, but often people in tech don't ooh and ah about art websites and this and that. But the Walker Art Center, if you ever get a chance, just...
I was there for it, no.
Oh, you were?
The Enterprise Mobile Summit, we were there.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Yeah. yeah, I mean, their website, they absolutely knocked it out of the park. Cover came off the wall. I mean, I don't know if you agree, but I haven't seen anything like it from an art institute or...
I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty well, amazing. With someone that has a building like that, you know, they're gonna invest in their website as well. Come on.
Yeah. Not always.
Not always.
Not always.
Their attention to design is big with the Walker folks.
When I drive by your purple house, I have a higher I have a higher expectation of your blog, Tim. But it's not purple. It's just kind of white.
Formerly known as Tim.
I'm just known as a symbol now.
Yeah. All right. We got to sign off. And thank you, gentlemen, for being here on our podcast. And
Justin Grammons, Guy Thier, thank you very much.
And we'll see you next week on the Minivate Gang
podcast.
See you then.